Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 130, part 3. My name is John. When I, you, and everyone we knew could believe, do, and share in what was true. In the not too distant future, it is Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. In a miraculous turn of events, Joe Jorgensen has been elected President of the United States of America. Chaos besets the nation as voters have once again cast ballots en masse as a call for change. But, as in past elections, they don't pay attention to the change they're voting for. Much like the aging population of Russia in the 1990s, who had lived long lives under communist regime, the American people panic over this bizarre notion of liberty. Early days of the administration are devoted to live online chats from the president and vice president, explaining the main parts of the philosophy. Libertarian volunteers assist across the nation. The Raging Rhino Podcast reposts several episodes from its 11-year history. In her inauguration speech, Jorgensen sends a message to the world of a new day. She offers meetings and negotiations with the leadership of Iran, Cuba, North Korea, and others. Jorgensen quiets the murmurs in the crowd, saying, "Throwing bombs and hurting the population with sanctions is easy. Building bridges with diplomacy is hard." She advises America's adversaries that America is still willing to go to war. If the nation is attacked, she will follow the Constitution and have Congress vote on a declaration of war and retaliation. She advises the nations of the world to make a choice. Endless war with death claiming loved ones and innocents? Or peacetime to build our societies how we choose? At first, neither the Republicans nor the Democrats know how to react. They fall back on the only tactics they know: demonization and fear-mongering. From the beginning, Jorgensen's presidency is fraught with media exposés casting doubt on her intelligence and abilities. Die-hard Republicans and Democrats find unity in attempting to scare the public against this dangerous new ideology. Many Americans decide to give it a chance because they understand it is neither dangerous nor new. The left, as expected, panics when Jorgensen offers the notion of uninfringed gun rights. The left panics again when libertarians push for the removal of most marriage laws because the left doesn't understand the belief that government should have no say in consensual adult marriage. The right, as expected, panics when Jorgensen calls to bring the troops home from the various military actions across the globe. The right panics again when libertarians push for an end to farm subsidies, because the right doesn't understand how this cousin of corporate welfare artificially inflates prices. Right-wingers and left-wingers wage a media war against libertarians as long-standing bureaucratic institutions and programs are ended. Neither of the big government parties accepts the call for an end to corporate bailouts, terrified of the job market when large companies fail. The decriminalization of drugs causes panic by the big government parties, claiming we will become a nation of addicts. The biggest uproar comes from the massive overhaul of the tax code for businesses and the end to the minimum wage and personal income tax. The Secret Service thwarts the first attempt on Jorgensen's life, outside a Chicago hotel. The gunman is identified as a radical Marxist who supports Bernie Sanders. Then, another miracle happens. Of course it does. This is my podcast. The vast majority of the citizens stop listening to the naysayers and give libertarianism a try. It's not easy. People used to the government as their pilot have a period of adjustment when they have to learn to fly for themselves. There are hiccups at first before they begin to discover how many things are much easier without bureaucracy. Television ratings and movie ticket sales plummet as Americans spend more time learning the tools to live their lives than they do being entertained. What began as chaos naturally began to order itself as people seek out voluntary connections to help themselves and mutually benefit others. As large companies fail, entrepreneurs start new companies that hire the best employees from the defunct corporations. This leads to new innovations in business operation that drives better production and lower prices. After a brief spike in drug cases due to experimentation, the numbers level off as the enticement to try the taboo disappears. Cases of disease from sherry needles plummets. New companies open to produce recreational drugs with detailed information of the doses and consequences. The same companies pool parts of their proceeds together to create rehabilitation facilities for those who misuse their product. The decriminalization of drugs also removes the police from punishing a victimless crime. Law enforcement is now fully focused on stopping murderers, rapists, and thieves rather than arresting people for growing a plant. Nonviolent drug users currently in jail are set free. Recreational drug companies are the first to offer employment. President Jorgensen urges all businesses to hire the former prisoners without prejudice. At the suggestion of President Jorgensen, police forces around the nation adopt guidelines requiring an officer to use all other means before shooting, warning before shooting, banning chokeholds and strangleholds, requiring all use of force to be reported, requiring de-escalation, and making it an officer's duty to intervene if another officer uses excessive force. Seeing the detriment to shielding them, bad cops are no longer protected by their fellow officers. Tensions between the police and minorities reaches an all-time low. The Secret Service thwarts the second attempt on Jorgensen's life during a motorcade in Charlotte. The gunman is identified as an ultra-right-wing extremist who supports Donald Trump. In November 2024, Joe Jorgensen is re-elected in the largest electoral and popular vote landslide since Ronald Reagan 40 years prior. Jorgensen implores the American people to never again rely on a government bureaucracy that takes their dollars and gives them back pennies. She calls for corporations and wealthy private citizens to put their money where their mouth is and take active roles in charities and work directly with people they claim to want to help, not simply throw money at a charity. The nation soon discovers which are hypocrites and which truly want to help. Reliance on government falls, while personal connections that cross over economic, racial, and lifestyle divides are made that foster a new era of respect amongst Americans. Businesses less burdened by taxation begin to use their monies they once sent to government for unemployment programs to improve working conditions and increase their charitable outreach. With the minimum wage gone, companies hire inexperienced youth for low-wage entry-level jobs, who then prove their worth and parlay their experience for better jobs and pay. This fosters a renewed American spirit of hard work. With more people working and climbing up socioeconomic ladders, more is given to charity and community improvement. Wages decrease, but even more so do prices for goods and services due to removal of overregulation. Oil companies, no longer receiving subsidies, explore ways for more efficient use of their product and alternative fuels. The era of the individual inventor returns as people in their garages innovate alternative energy sources and improve on inefficient systems. Cheaper, cleaner, safer sources of energy are developed. The better systems win the marketplace. Improvements lead to cleaner emissions unheard of in stagnant corporatism and socialist bureaucracy. Inventors are allowed to test their ideas on an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, leading to massive strides in man-made disaster response and recovery. Other entrepreneurs use the advancement in innovation and technology to clean plastic waste dumped in the ocean and factory emissions before being released into the atmosphere. The post office, no longer allowed to run a deficit by artificially lowering its rates and be augmented with taxpayer bailouts, raises its rates to be more in line with privately owned delivery businesses. After an audit of the Federal Reserve shows massive corruption and mismanagement, it is disbanded and the United States returns to the gold standard. Diplomatic efforts produce varying degrees of success. Many of the hardline Islamic nations openly distrust the American president and refuse trade negotiations, but advise they will leave the United States alone so long as it does not interfere with their affairs. Full tourism to Cuba opens to United States citizens. The Kim dynasty in North Korea ends, and a bloody revolt by the citizens that decimates the nation. However, as Western news agencies are allowed in, videos of citizens in Pyongyang are broadcast across the world. A young woman holds up a bone record to the camera while proclaiming in her native tongue, "We heard you, America. We heard you." Later, it is found the bone record contains a warbled bootleg recording of the Interrupters' song, "Take Back the Power." Dictators across the globe take notice. They will not be able to subjugate their people much longer. In 2028, Jeremy Cohen is elected president of the United States. The golden age of liberty in the United States of America continues. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.